Amen. All right. Well, today we're going to do something a little different. I am actually excited. I just see Peter walking in over there, and I'm sorry to call you out, brother. But, man, what a blessing. Can we hear it for Peter? Thank you for sharing last week. We appreciate you. Each and every week that Peter shares, and even actually when Eric is able to share as well, these two guys are a part of us. They are uniquely gifted and talented by the Lord Himself to share the Word of God. And I'm just really appreciative for them using their talents and their gifts here. And whenever I am gone, it is always a blessing to know that you're going to hear an incredible biblical message that is always Bible-based, always something that is right on time for our church, and always something that is prayed over and prepared. There are a lot of people that don't know what the next guy is going to bring to the pulpit. I always know. These guys do a phenomenal job. I thank you. I don't take it for granted, and I appreciate that. So thank you, Peter. I appreciate you. Let's hear it for him one more time. Thank you, brother. And next time, I won't call you out when you're in the middle of walking in. I apologize. But, man, I swear, I just get a one-track mind, and I forget to say the things that I know I want to and need to say. So today, we're beginning a new, brand-new series called Renewed Minds, Winning the War Raging Inside. And we are going to do something a little different. Normally, we use a longer passage of Scripture, and I ask someone to read that passage of Scripture. But what we're going to do today is I'm actually going to ask us to read it out loud. That's how short the passage is going to be today. It's only going to be a couple of verses. It is going to be our one to remember. If you don't know what the one to remember is if you wanted to make biblical memorization a part of your spiritual disciplines, you can find something every single time we have a teaching series. We give you something. So probably 6 or 8 different times a year, you can listen and read a scripture and remember, hey, if I could memorize this, I'll have 6 or 8 more by the end of this year that are a part of my repertoire, so to speak. So here today, I'm actually going to be the reader. And today's title is The Battle for Your Mind. And it comes from Romans 8, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And that is a misprint there. But I just wanted to mention to you that ultimately, this passage of Scripture is one that is familiar to you, but the more that you can memorize it and put it into your heart and mind, it is going to be a blessing. So I'm going to click on this next slide here, and as we do, I want you guys to do me a favor, and I want y'all to read out loud with me. Will y'all read out loud with me? Now, I will straight up start over again if y'all don't do a good job, okay? Because I don't want to do this by myself. Okay, so let's do it on the count of 3. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Let's stop right there. How many of you guys have heard this passage of Scripture before? You've heard it plenty of times. But then let's notice, and this is really where we're talking about the idea of renewed minds. Let's pick it up. Here we go. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then we'll go back here and we'll say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice. Today's title is The Battle for Your Mind. And I just want to begin by saying the truth of the matter is that I want you and I to leave today knowing that there is a battle for our mind. And it is not just simply for our mind, but it is for our mindset, our lifestyle, our worldview. And it all begins in our minds. And so we want to talk about having our minds fully dedicated to the Lord. We'll talk more about it. Here's where we begin. There's something to learn. Written to believers in Rome, the Apostle Paul had never visited that city in the time of his writing. It's called Roman Epistle or Paul's Epistles to Rome, and we know it as the Book of Romans. Paul would eventually visit Rome at least twice, first when he was sent as a prisoner, appealing to Caesar to refute the Jews who were trying to kill him. You can find that story in Acts 21 through 28. But the second time was when Paul was arrested for preaching Christ by an emperor named Nero when he was martyred about 64 to 65 A.D. this may not matter to you, but here's why it matters to me. We're talking today about renewed minds. And the idea and the concept is, how do we get our minds to begin to think and behave more in line with what Christ has said about us and what we know to be true from the Scriptures about us? Not what we believe, not what the world thinks, not what the latest trend is out there on the internet or TikTok or wherever, but instead focusing about, hey, I believe what God has said about me, and I'm living in that way, and I'm thinking consistently in that way. Now, I don't know, okay, let me ask you guys a question. They're not here, right? They're not here, but how many of you know somebody who is not here with you today that can sometimes be a little bit on the negative side? Can I see a hand? Y'all know somebody negative, right? That's your coworker, right? I mean, they probably share a cubicle with you, right? So ultimately, we know people who are negative, who are angry, who are bitter, who are, you know, just constantly down or whatever it might be on all the things that are going on. And we see this here. And Paul is not writing to those people. He's not like, I'm going to pretend as I write this letter to the church that I don't mean everybody, but I really mean, oh, what's her name and what's his name? And, you know, not like that at all. And this is incredibly important as well. If he'd never been there, he'd never met them. He was not writing to a specific person. But God's word is inspired. It wasn't just Paul's pen. It was God's word through Paul's pen. Can I get an amen on that? And so as we see what God is writing to us, he's telling us, you and I might think, well, I got this negative attitude from my parents, so I guess I'm just never going to get it away, and I'm never going to beat it back. You know, I've always struggled with anger ever since I was a little kid. You know, my parents struggle with anger, and so do I, and so I'm just never going to ever be able to beat that. You see, this is the kind of thing that changes whenever your mind is renewed, that you begin to see yourself as God sees you, not as the world sees you. Have you guys ever heard of what is called a script? Have y'all ever heard of what they call a script these days? Like somebody gave you a script and said, this is what your life is going to be like. This is your character. This is who you are. A lot of the time that's done through parenting, where we say, you know what? You're never going to amount to anything if you can't do this right or whatever like that. You hear that as a young, impressionable child. It can really change you. And it almost feels like somebody's giving you a script and for the rest of your life you're reading off of it. Y'all with me? And so this is incredibly important. Paul was not writing to anybody specific. He wasn't writing to pick a bone with somebody. He was telling everybody. And he was telling us in God's Holy Spirit's anointing that we, no matter who we are, no matter what script we've been given, we can make a choice to have a renewed mind rather than the one that other people might want for us or the one that might come natural to us. If you guys are with me, y'all give me an amen, all right? All right. Do I need to go back, or y'all got a better one for me? Amen? I knew. Yeah, y'all are like, whatever you do, don't go back and start again. All right. Fair enough. If you can look at this image and identify with it a little bit, that sometimes in your mind it feels like you're going in so many different directions, so much is churning and so much is happening, you probably can identify. Even if you are a person who's pretty settled in your mind, there are times where we all feel like this. And I just want to say for us, as we talk about the book of Hebrews, which mentions that we all have a sin that so easily besets us, this sin that we tend to fall into whenever we struggle at the things that are going on in our life, it is always seeming like something is bombarding us and we're dealing with a battle that is raging in our mind. So over the next few weeks, I want to take a few minutes each week and talk a little bit about some of the different battles that are in your mind and in my mind as well. And here are some of these that we're going to talk about. We're wanting to help you find victory over fear and anxiety. They say that fear and anxiety is something that is like at an epidemic level these days in the things that we face. And talking about envy and comparison, and that is everywhere as well. We're going to have a very special service as well, and this service is going to be PG-13, okay? Y'all just know, this was going to be PG-13. I'm going to have the teenagers to be in here because it's incredibly important for them, but I want to tell you now, we're going to be covering some things that the kids probably don't need to be involved in. So when we do that, I want to make sure that you guys know the PG-13 is coming, okay? When that happens, I'm going to remind you so you can make sure that your kids are back in the back. But we're going to deal with these things head on and some really good things that we're going to tackle. Anger and bitterness, and then past hurts and depression. And all of these things, they all begin where? Where do they begin? Right here in our minds. And so as we talk about renewing of our minds, we're hoping that you will find victory in these areas today. So real quickly, Craig Rochelle, he wrote a book. I'm going to reference that in just a moment. But he said these words in his book. He said, our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. What we think shapes who we are. How many of you guys agree with that? It's true, right? It really is true. And he says a few words. He's like, but maybe you're listening to me and saying, yeah, Pastor Craig, you know, you're exaggerating. You're going overboard. He says, this is no exaggeration. Our lives do follow the direction of our thoughts. The better we grasp that truth, the better equipped we will be to change the trajectory of our lives. And then he goes on, but don't take my word for it. Both the Bible and modern science provide the evidence that this is true. And then he talks about something that is called behavioral cognitive therapy. If you are a therapist like my daughter Taryn is, you know what that is and what that means. But basically it means the way that you think, if you can replace those things with a better thought pattern and process, then you can begin to see changes in your life. And then he says, I don't know about you, but when the Bible and modern psychology both say the same thing is true, I want to know more. And so we're going to talk about those things over the next few weeks. And again, this is the book called Winning the War in Your Mind, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life by Pastor Craig Rochelle. I believe it is out there on Spotify. If you have a Spotify account, a premium account, and then also if you have Audible, if you're into that, you can do that. And of course, if you're old school and you want paper and that kind of thing, you can read it as well. All right. So here's something else to learn. In Romans 8, Paul shifts from speaking about the law of Moses, which is only postponed the penalty of sin against God, but then he shifts to the law of the Spirit through Christ Jesus that makes freedom available to us right now. As believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit writes God's truth upon our hearts, which was prophesied in Jeremiah 33, giving us a new way of life, the law to Spirit, exchanging outward rules for an inward desire to please God. Here's what this means. If you don't have any desire at all for your mind to begin to change and to be renewed, I want to just tap you on the shoulder and say, why not? I mean, we all deal with a mind that is not fully given to Christ. And even if we are winning some battles, we know that there are some battles that we are most certainly losing. And so if you and I want to be people who are more and more following in the footsteps of Christ and living according to the law of the Spirit rather than the law of the flesh, then we have to say, Lord, change me and begin to do it here in my mind. Renew my mind so that I might think and act and become more like you. So this is our big idea. Winning the war for your mind determines both your inner and outer life. Winning the war in your mind determines what's going on in both your inner life and your outer life. Can we say this on the count of three? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Winning the war for your mind determines both your inner and outer life. Okay, so let me just do this real quick. Let me ask you guys a question. Have y'all really thought about this? Have y'all really thought that you have an entire world going on that nobody else can ever really see? It's your mind. It used to be that you would know people and, you know, that kind of thing, and maybe know them from afar, and think that maybe their life was very, very different. But the more we get to know and understand people, we grasp and understand that for many people, they've never won the battle in their mind. And so when something happens outwardly, we realize there was a private war that they were losing for a long time. And then suddenly, it becomes known, not because it happened suddenly, but because it was growing and hidden, and then it became known. If y'all are with me, give me an amen. Amen. And so we've got to be very careful. Do you remember what Jesus said? said, for those of you who call your brother a fool, it's just like hating him and killing him. Those of you who lust after a woman, it's just like sleeping with her even though you've never touched her. What is he saying? Thoughts lead to what? Actions. Renew your mind. Starve out the things that you don't want to face the consequences for. Winning the war for your mind determines both your inner life and your outer life. And I want to be very clear about this. This is incredibly important for us to understand. I'm not just telling you, win that inner war so you don't do something that you'll regret and have to deal with consequences. I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying win the inner war and experience joy and peace and victory like you never thought you could actually reach. And prevent the things that you don't want to deal with the consequences for. It's not like this is the only thing, this outer life is the only thing that is a concern. This inner war, winning it, changes everything about your day-to-day experience. So for you and for me both, renewing our mind and being very serious about saying what you believe about me, Lord, I believe about me. When you say I am a saint and you say I am called for something more, when you say I am built for producing fruit and not just simply living a life, as Peter preached about last week, when you say that I am God's workmanship, created to do good works that you prepared in advance for me to do, then I agree with that. I don't just simply say, well, that's kind of cool. I've heard that scripture once or twice. No, we begin to put it into practice and begin to live it in our lives. That is how we win, beginning in the mind and living it out in our minds and in our lives. Okay. All right. So from God's Word, what does Romans chapter 12 say? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That feel like that's outer. Don't you think that's outer, not inner? I think we're on the same page, right? So Paul is saying here, I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. This is emphasizing that how we renew our minds matters. Because what does he say? These are the outer actions, and then how are you going to get there? He says, therefore, I appeal, and then he goes on and on. And then he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your what? Your mind. So the things that you are doing are affected by your mind. This is incredibly important for us. And let me just share this with you. I wrote these things down so I would make sure I hit it right. Consider these truths about the importance of renewing your mind. Okay? I'm going to put this back here. Every argument with your kids, your parents, your friends, or your spouse began in the mind. Either your mind or theirs, or maybe both. Every word you regret saying began as a thought that lingered and eventually came out of your mouth, and as hard as you tried, you couldn't fully take it back. Every opportunity for growth that you didn't take began as a thought that had lied to you and said, you don't really need to change. Therefore, you and I are both less than we could be because of our thoughts. Every bad habit that you hate now first took hold as a mindset that you didn't address way back when it could have been much, much easier to quit or never even begin in the first place. Every affair that has ever happened in this world has begun in your mind first. And then, before any line is crossed, any inappropriate behavior or action is ever taken, it happened in your mind first. And every important decision you will make in your life, both for good and bad, begins with a mindset that sets you up to consistently win or consistently struggle as you live the rest of your life. Now, I don't know about you, but I would rather choose life than choose to constantly struggle with death. Like it's just barely hanging on with my hand, gripping and barely there. So I would advise you, and I would take this advice, that I need to choose wisely the things that I let to constantly be flowing in my mind. And I need to choose wisely every single day because it happens every single day. All right. Now, let's keep going here. And as we do, a renewed mind matters because the scripture says that we should renew our mind. The sheer number of thoughts that we have is crazy. How many of you guys know about, okay, now you don't have to answer right now, but get a number in your head, that inner life, okay? We're talking about it. Get it in your inner life, okay? That number of thoughts that you have every day. And then we just talked about how thoughts influence our feelings and reality. Okay, I'm going to give you guys, give or take 5,000. Give or take 5,000, I'm going to give you that. And I want to see how many of you are close. And I bet you some of you are here, okay? So check it out. Here's what Google AI says. A typical person has between 12,000 and 70,000 thoughts per day. I feel like that's a big number. That's a big swing, right? I mean, isn't that like the cable guy who says he's going to show up sometime between 8 and 8? You know, like, it's like, can you narrow that down a little bit for me, right? So there's a lot of thoughts, but even if it's just 12,000 thoughts per day, keep reading. Many of these thoughts, as much as how much percent? 95% can be repetitive of the previous day's thoughts. And here's what's really, really scary. If you go a little further, it says that 95% of these negative thoughts are repetitive. You're thinking the same negative thoughts about yourself, about your kids, about your situation, about your spouse. I know y'all aren't thinking about your pastor, but, you know, theoretically that could happen. If y'all do, pray for me. Okay, I need to be better. But it's crucial. Look here. This is something that I have said before, and I'm going to hit hard as we talk about renewal of your mind. It's crucial to remember that thoughts are not necessarily what? Facts. Your feelings will lie to you. You have to be willing to say, you know what, I feel this way, but I could be being lied to by my own feelings right here and now. And so I need to make sure that I'm being careful. So if you had an idea, any of y'all close enough in that idea about how many thoughts you had? I mean, close, right? There's such a huge range, but 12 to 70,000 on the lowest end and on the highest end, it is scary how many times we have a thought come through our mind and how much of an effect it can have on us. And let me ask you this. Just one thought spoken into your life can change the way that you act and react for a whole bunch of the day. I mean, have you ever had that experience? You know, like you're walking into a meeting and you got on a brand new shirt that you think looks great, you know, and as you walk in, you know, somebody's like going to walk in the door with you and they're like, hey, by the way, let me just say it now because I might forget it later, but don't wear that shirt again. That's like not good, okay? But let's go. And like, what are you going to think in that meeting the entire time? You're like, why is everybody looking at my shirt? You know, it was on sale. What am I supposed to do, right? You know, am I right? You're thinking about your shirt the entire time. That's one thought. That's one thought. Not 10, 12, 15, 18, 70,000. I mean, one thought can change your whole attitude. And then you go home and you have to decide what you're going to do to the shirt, right? You're like, am I throwing this away? I mean, can I ever wear this shirt and feel good about it again? Is it just me or, all right, okay. You know what I'm talking about. A renewed mind matters because of all of these reasons, but every action taken began with a thought. And we've already talked about that, so let's keep moving. So don't miss this. This is incredibly important, and this is from that book, Winning the War in Your Mind. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. I'm going to say that one more time. And if you agree, give me an amen at the end, okay? A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were truth, amen? Isn't that crazy? It is so weird and so strange. You know, there are there are things that you've been taught and things that I've been taught. And you know what? I love my parents. They were good people. They were good parents and they meant well. But let me just say this. They lied to me. They lied to me. Your parents probably lied to you. How many of you were ever told that if you go in to a swimming pool and swim right after eating, that you will get cramps? You have to wait at least 15 to 20 minutes before you go in. Can I see your hand? I'm serious. Can I see your hand? Y'all ever told that? Guess what? You've been lied to as well. It's not true. It's not true. Now you can call your parents. Y'all are texting. You are a dirty liar, right? This is a lighthearted thing, but that is not actually true. I actually grew up in a house where one of the houses that we owned, we had a swimming pool. I think about how many hours I just waited, and those were the longest minutes when you're a kid. You want to be in the pool every moment that you possibly can, right? And so you're like, come on, get in the pool. No, you're waiting 15 minutes, and you're just thinking now, how much time have I wasted? My parents owe me some days. All right, so here is something a lot less lighthearted. You know, that I would never in any way make fun or tease about something as serious as anorexia or bulimia. But there are skinny people who believe themselves to be overweight. And they believe that to be true, even though it's not true. And so they take actions that make themselves unhealthy. Bulimia, where you force yourself to throw up, can literally cause your esophagus to rot from the inside out because you're constantly throwing up that often. And it's just a scary thing. All of the things that you're not eating and your body is crying out for it. I've seen people who literally are skin and bones and still think that they are overweight. The problem is that they are believing false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. Because sometimes your feelings lie to you. Why it is so important for us to see ourselves as God sees us, not as we believe or even as other people see us. And in Scripture, Nehemiah's call to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem was unattempted for many, many decades. And you guys may remember, we talked about Build Back Better, the lessons from Nehemiah. And I told you guys that the walls had laid in ruin around Jerusalem for somewhere between 145 to 150 plus years. But the rebuilding effort was finished in how many days? 52 days. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're thinking to yourself, this project is a big one, I want to wait, I don't want to start it, I can find all kinds of reasons to not get it started around my house. Anybody can identify? Oh, it's going to be a big problem, right? They finished it in 52 days because everybody chipped in. We often overestimate the scope of a project we refuse to begin, only to find that it was far from the impossible task that we had imagined. Where? In our minds. If we might be saying to yourself right now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, Randy, it's okay because the walls eventually got built. Can I tell you, I disagree. I'm glad that the walls got built, and I'm glad that Nehemiah was a called man of God. And I'm glad that Nehemiah said, if nobody else has, then I will. With God's help, I'll get involved. But can I tell you something? How many generations of Jews lived and died with their entire city-state being a shame to everybody else? They literally lived and died and never had the walls that took pride in their city. All of these things could have been remedied in 52 days. But no, they kept putting it off and saying, no, it's just going to be too much. It's going to be too big. It's going to be too much of an effort. We cannot do it. But that was not true. It was just a question of the truth versus a lie in their mind. The mind is its own place and in itself can make a heaven out of hell and a hell out of heaven. John Milton wrote these words. And again, I am not in any way trying to trivialize this, but it has been shocking to me to watch people that have, like, achieved success in every measure and metric in their life, that have literally taken their life, committed suicide. Because, truth be told, what was going on outward did not match for them what they believed about themselves on the inside. And so I'm not trivializing it. I'm not mentioning it. I'm not trying to do this so, you know, oh, I'm just trying to make an impact. No, I'm trying to be very clear. The truth of the matter is that your renewed mind literally can be the difference between life and death at times. So we cannot trivialize what God has commanded us to do, to renew ourselves in our mind and to believe that we are a special creation, special, purposefully made and made for a purpose. And this is why it is so incredibly important for us to tell our kids that even if you don't love everything about yourself when you're a teenager, the truth of the matter is that God has made you for a purpose and you are made in God's image. Don't ever let anyone tell you anything different. It's incredibly important. Don't let somebody
make a heaven out of hell and a hell out of heaven.
Let's keep moving here. Let's talk about this, and we're bringing this to a close. And over the next few weeks, I want to talk about recognizing, resisting, replacing, and renewing. We're going to talk about these over the next few weeks, but today I want to really hone in on just making sure that you are hearing the fact that there is something that you need to recognize. There's three of them, and I want to talk about them very quickly here. First of all, we've got to recognize that the war exists. Here in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, the Bible tells us, "For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the what? The Spirit." So for them, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is what? Life, not just life, but life and peace. You're winning the war in your mind, and it is not just winning the outcomes. It is winning the battle and the war that's waged for peace and abundant life. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And I underline both of these things because, well, who are those that are in the flesh? Those that live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. Now, let me get real serious and real personal. Sometimes this is us as believers, where we are living in the flesh and then can't figure out why the flesh is winning. It's because we are choosing to live in the flesh, to set our minds constantly on the things of the flesh, and then going, why am I constantly thinking about things of the flesh? Well, it's because that's all that you're feeding from God's Word. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, presenting that body as a living sacrifice." And then what does he say? "By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." This speaks to me that this is not something that happens automatically or easily. It is a long process. Even if you are a believer who has loved the Lord and lived for the Lord for many years, you may still be losing the war in your mind. And if that is true, I'm here to tell you that God said when His Son came, He said, "I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it to its fullest, or more abundantly." He wants you to live in joy and life and peace and abundant life. And all of these things begin where the things that you face don't affect you because you already have a little piece of heaven here and process of elimination. You're eliminating the negative. You're setting yourself less and less on things of the flesh and more on things of the Spirit. And by the way, if you look in Romans chapter 8, we looked at that passage of Scripture. It doesn't look like there's a whole lot of room in the middle, does it? Let me look at it. It doesn't look like there's a whole lot of room in the middle. It looks like there's a lot of either you are living for the flesh or you're living for the Spirit. And in between is not really happening too much. So let's be very careful that we are sowing to the Spirit, not to death. So here's what we recognize. The war exists. There are two sides to this story. Be on the right side. The second one is that there are power of lies that we believe. And I just had already mentioned to you the lies that you believe to be real, even if they're not, those things will act as if they are real in your life. So you have to be awake and aware that sometimes your life, you're telling yourself a lie in the middle of your life. And then you have to be consistent to win that battle, and you have to be counseled. And this is incredibly important. Shameless plug. Join us on Wednesday night as we talk about how you can live in hope from 2 Peter. 1 and 2 Peter. Why am I saying that now? Because if you think that you can just empty out the negative in your life and not fill it with something else, you are wrong. The truth of the matter is we are going to have those thoughts. And they will not just be the negative that we're trying to remove. Guess what usually comes back in a negative thought's place? Another negative thought. Unless you replace it with something that is positive. And I believe with all of my heart, and I'm a guy who has followed the Lord. I've not been great. I've not been great at following the Lord, but I've tried to follow the Lord since my junior year of high school. I made a big commitment to change a lot of the things that I was doing and live in a very different way. So I have been doing that for a long, long time. And I have seen consistently in my life
that as I am drawing close to the Lord, as I am reading His Word, as I am listening consistently to what He has to say about me, I begin to change my attitude and outlook. And that thing that's inside of me that is good is better, rather than that thing that is emptied and then filled back up with all the negative again. So we've got to be very careful that the power of lies that we believe are not just simply in there. And this is very, very important. People don't believe what you tell them. They rarely believe what you show them. They often believe what their friends tell them, but what? They always believe what they tell themselves. You think you are always right, and you are wrong. But you still believe it. And a lie that is believed acts as if it's already the truth, even if it's not. So here's what's important. This bite-sized scripture truth, I said make it a mantra. This is your way whenever you feel something happening in your life where you're like, you know what? I don't know why, but I'm having an argument in my head right now. Like, I'm having an argument in my head. Man, you know what I should have said? You know, she's lucky I didn't say, you know what? I should have told him, you know, fill in the blank, right? Whenever you see that and you can hear that voice in your head, here's what I would recommend to you. Say these words. Lord, help me not to be conformed to this world, but help me to be transformed by the renewal of my mind. That's Scripture. That's what God says He wants us to do and be. And if we can begin to memorize it and make it a mantra, whenever we have that argument in our head, instead of just letting it go and letting it turn us sour for an hour or two, instead we say, you know what, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing right now, but help me not to be conformed to this world, but help me to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And you make it a mantra. Make it something that is a part of your life. And we'll have some mantras all throughout the weeks where we look at what we can do and what we can say. Thirdly, we recognize the power of God to change us. If He said He wanted to change us, if He said that we should be renewing our minds, if He said that we can set our minds on things above and not on earthly things, if He said all of these things, you cannot tell me that it's a script that you cannot get off of. I'm going to say that one more time. You might not like to hear it another time, but if God has said all of these things in His Word about how we choose to renew our mind, how we choose to set our mind on things above and not on earthly things, if we choose to sow to the Spirit and not the flesh, you can't tell me now that it is not important for us to say, well, then I play a role in renewing my mind. The power of God will change us. We can't take a script from somebody and say, I guess this is what it is, and it never changes. All right, so here's some big questions. Are you winning a war in your mind? Do you realize now that it can change? The second question is, do you consistently recognize that your thoughts are the beginning point for the actions that you take? And do you see that this is where the victory begins or where the battle is lost? This is always where it is. And then I ask you, what is your area of greatest challenge? And if you look here at the center screen, you see that we talked about fear and anxiety may be your biggest issue. It may be envy and comparisons that you can never seem to get over. It may be lust or sexual sin or anger, bitterness, past hurts or depression. It could be any or all of these things. Here's what I share with you. If God says that you can renew your mind, let it begin. And let Him begin to change you by winning the war in your mind. The battle is fought in the mind first, and then the life that produces the fruit. So here's how you apply. You first of all, you tell a trusted friend your biggest challenge. And Craig Rochelle in his book says, you cannot address what you cannot confess. And I thought that was so good. I don't think you need to confess to anybody and everybody. I think you need to find somebody that is someone you can trust. But then ask them, hey, will you be praying with me? I've got to tell you, I'm struggling with fear. Hey, will you pray with me? I got to tell you, I'm struggling with envy in comparison constantly. On and on and on, these things go. But you address it and confess it to somebody, and then ask them to pray, and that helps you to bring something out of the dark and into the light. And let me tell you something. If Satan can get you to leave your darkest sins, That's where he uses power tools on you. I mean, like, that's where he really gets serious about working you over, and this is where we get warped in our mind. But then you make it a mantra, Romans 12, chapter 2, that we just mentioned about, Lord, help me. Help me to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, not conformed to this world. And can I just say, will you align this truth of God's Word, because it is always true. Whether we believe it or not, God's Word is always true. If we can begin to align my mind with something that God wants for me, God commands for me, and the truth that He has already said for me and spoken over me, tremendous change gets started if we will let that happen. But we have to let ourselves be that person that builds on that foundation and not on another. There's a great story, and I'm going to end right here. Great story about a blue van. I won't ask if you've ever owned this van. Okay, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But how many of you guys remember when these vans used to drive the streets out there in real life, right? Y'all are old. Congratulations, y'all are old. Or somebody owns an old van. But here's what I would share with you. Craig Rochelle, the man who wrote this book, says, blue vans scare me to death. And he is an incredibly successful pastor. And it's just a funny thing, but he talks about how blue vans scare me to death. And you're like, what are you talking about, blue vans? He said, here's the deal. He grew up in Oklahoma, and he said one day our whole family was in, you know, our car. We went to our burger joint and had our food and all that stuff, and we start going home. Suddenly we realize that there's a blue van that's following us, behind us. We pull into our driveway, figuring no big deal. The blue van comes screeching in behind us. The man jumps out. He's yelling at my dad, screaming at him, Craig Rochelle says. And he's telling him how he, you know, hates him, and he's frustrated, and he's angry, and on and on and on. And so they literally get into a physical altercation right there in the driveway with the kids in the car, and it's all happening right there in front of them. And so Craig Rochelle's dad wins. For the good guys, okay? He sends them out and sends them away. But Craig's mother says, come here, come here. I want you to sit down and hear something. That person hates us, and they know where we live. So if you ever see a blue van, I want you to know that you need to hide and make sure that that's not that person that is trying to hurt us and our family. He's literally willing to get in a physical fight with your father. That's how much he hates us as a family. So you have to be very careful every time you see a blue van. Craig Rochelle is an incredibly successful pastor, pastor of Life Church, if you've heard of that before. And he still, to this day, says, I get a squeamish feeling every time I see a blue van on the roads. He said, my mother intended it for good, for us to remain safe and us to not be hurt and us to not be kidnapped or taken. But he said, it's something that I've never gotten over, my fear of blue vans. So, I know that the world gives us scripts. Sometimes it's intentional, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes people have given you a script that they said, this is what you're going to be, this is what you're not going to be. And maybe they intended to harm you or hurt you. Maybe they just intended to try to protect you somehow. Maybe something in your past has happened to you, and it feels like somebody's handed you a script that you are not valuable and not worth what God has said you are worth. Do not be conformed to this world and to its opinion of you, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. And it all begins in your mind. Heavenly Father, please help us to be people who live our lives for you. Live our lives mirroring the way that you have thought about us. The thoughts and the opinions that you have about us.
that we are not defined by our past. We're not defined by a script that's been given to us. Even for good or bad, it does not matter, because we are more than our past mistakes. We're more than the hurts that we have had to bear. We are more than the circumstances that we have come from. All because you say we are more. And we are made for more. But Lord, it cannot be true in our lives until we let it be true in our minds. So help us to commit and confess that at times we are more concerned about others' opinions or our own feelings, our own thoughts or our own comfort zone, and we're living beneath what you have called us to be. May we all, especially over the next few weeks, may we all hear that you have come that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray.